Block, one of the elders here, and I'm going to lead us in the prayer this morning. Not play guitar. All right. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we just come before you today. We thank you for your presence here. Thank you for your loving kindness. For without your loving kindness and mercy, Lord, we would perish. And Lord, as you've instructed us, we pray for our civil authorities. We pray for our president and Congress. And Lord, let us not neglect the judicial area and our lawyers. And we just pray, Father, that you would give them wisdom, that you would raise up godly leaders, those who will work towards the furtherance of the gospel and the benefit of your people. We pray for those, Lord, who are, we also pray for those who are in ministry. Lord, that you've raised up as shepherds. We thank you for the laborers that are working in the harvest field, both here at New Song and around the world. And we ask that you would continue to raise them up, continue to prosper the work of their hands as well. We pray that for those around the world that are suffering, that are facing persecution, and for our missionaries that are out there on the front lines. We pray for the Kay family. We pray that your grace and your strength and your love would be with them. And we pray for those unbelievers that are outside the church, both here in our area of Columbus proper and Columbus greater. We pray that there would be many brought to salvation. Lord, lead us as a church in reaching out to those who do not know you. And finally, Lord, we pray for the saints here at New Song, that they will continue to grow in grace. We pray for wisdom to be upon each one here and also believers outside, in Jesus' name. And I want to pray for Brother Phil too, Lord, as he delivers a sermon today, in Jesus' name. So Brother Phil got two prayers, one for lawyers and one for his message. So.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Philip Girth, another one of the elders here. Today's sermon is called Some Days You Will Be Tasked with Failure. Rethinking what it means to be equipped. We're going to dig deep into the Word of God this morning. I want you to leave here with new eyes to see what your brothers and sisters are dealing with here at New Song and even around the world. I'm going to give you the direction of this sermon in about 10 minutes. So sometimes we hide the actual sermon till a little later into the material. So in about 10 minutes, you'll see where this is starting to come together. But I can tell you up front, we're going to be digging around in Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to look at some related verses, but mostly we're going to dig around on the themes of Ephesians chapter 4. And from the text in Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to be asking questions. Questions such as, number one, why are there not always easy heavenly solutions to every earthly challenge? Number two, if I have the Holy Spirit within me, why do I need to be further equipped by the Holy Spirit? Number three, why can't I operate all the time in every spiritual ability? Number four, if I have everything I need for life and godliness, why does Paul tell the First Corinthian church to desire spiritual gifts? Number five, why is failure such an effective teacher? Number six, why would a loving God send anyone into a no-win scenario? Number seven, is it possible to fail and yet still accomplish what God has for me? Number eight, how many times will a person need to learn the lessons from this sermon? If you're stubborn like me, I can tell you up front more than once. I'm going to try to answer these questions using plain English and the Word of God. I'm not going to try to candy coat any of this. I'm not going to set this at children's strength medicine. This is going to be some serious stuff. But I think you need to know, most of you know this already, not every challenge you face will be easily solved. And it's possible that right now, the person sitting right next to you is facing a challenge that needs your help. So, Lord be with us. Amen? We're going to start with the Word of God given through Paul to the church in Ephesus. So we're going to dig around in Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 11, and we'll go through to verse 16. I'm so glad for the water here. I don't know what it is, but some days I am so thirsty as I talk up here. And it's not like this when I talk normally to people. I do not get this thirsty. I talk a lot for a living, and I don't get this thirsty. But I don't know what it is. When I'm preaching up here, I get so thirsty. You didn't need to know that. All right, we'll dig into the Word. Ephesians chapter 4. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. I want to point out a few things just from the text as we get started. First of all, we see that God gave specialized ministries to the church. Specialized ministries. No one person does it all. There's an old joke by Robert Heinlein that says specialization is for insects, but it's also true about the kingdom of God. God gave certain people with unique specialized abilities to the church. Second, we see from the text that the goal of these various ministries is actually the same goal. The goal is to build up the celestial body of Christ, which is the church. So even though the apostle will not have the same specialization as the teacher, they still have the same goal, to equip, to build up. Equip who? The church. Build up who? The church. Even the evangelists have the same task. If you ever meet an evangelist that refuses to point a new convert in the direction of a church, that evangelist needs to reread this passage. The goal of the evangelist is also the building up and equipping of the church. So it is for the shepherds and the prophets as well. We're here to build you up. Third observation from this passage, all the Christians in the entire world, no matter their age or location or health or wealth, we are all supposed to be growing up. We should not be stagnant for any real length of time. We are supposed to be growing up. Maybe now and then we take a breather, but then back to growing. And growing how? Into Christ. Into Christ, the head of the church, because by Christ, the whole body is held together as well as joined. How is the arm connected to the leg? In Christ and by Christ. Christ is connected to every part of the body. Fourth observation, if we do it right, not every church always gets it right, but if we do it right, we'll know it because we'll be building ourselves up in divine love corporately. When each part is working properly, the body will grow in such a way that it builds itself up in divine love. Here's the text again. It's still on the screen. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. We will know when and if New Song has arrived at the place we should be, when the parts of the body are spiritually growing and supplying each other's needs in divine love, so that it's not just one part of the body giving resources, another part of the body receiving resources. No, it's as that exchange takes place that we're building ourselves up in divine love. That's the key. We should be built up in love as we do this. Are we completely there yet? No, not yet. In places, sure, but not, we have not yet fully arrived. Not yet. We still have room to grow. Let's be honest. It is not hard to find faults in a fellow believer. It's not hard at all. Not too hard to find a fault somewhere. What are you doing so that you can equip the faulty believer next to you? To build up the faulty believer that might be sitting right next to you, to help cultivate spiritual growth in that faulty person right next to you.
I work on
the Good, good. What causes the church to grow? Divine love. What causes churches to break up? Lack of divine love. You could put a million little labels on church movements that break up. You can study denominational splits. You can study any church split you ever studied. But in the end, it all comes down to the same thing. It comes down to the love of God or the lack thereof. When the church is building itself up in divine love, expect health. When a church is not, expect problems. Even churches split over over doctrinal issues, it still comes down to whether or not the church is building itself up in the love of God or not. If it's self-love, then the word of God won't be faithfully preached. If it's truly the love of God, the true word of God will be preached, a word that challenges people, challenges them to be built up. So let's take one of our questions from the introduction. And that is, why can't I operate all the time in every spiritual ability? Why can't I just do it all the time when I want to? Because specialization is within the kingdom. These are God's rules, not mine. You cannot just easily waltz through life solving every challenge that comes your way without eventually coming across a problem that you cannot solve using only your own mind and only your own personal resources. At some point, you will need the resources that are spread throughout the kingdom of God in the church, resources that you do not inherently have. We started our passage in Ephesians chapter 4 with verse 11, but let's back up a minute and take a look at what leads to verse 11. So that we can understand the context. Paul is admonishing the believers in Ephesus that they would be bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were all called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. There's only one kingdom, only one Lord, only one baptism, only one faith, but you all get little specialized gifts. And the gifts are different from one another. We're not all going to be apostles, but you still have your part to play. Not everyone here is a teacher, but we all still have our part to play. How do I know that everyone has a part to play? Because Paul says that grace was given to each one of us. I get a part, you get a part, he gets a part, she gets a part. Everyone here that is a believer has a part to play. Even children have parts. Whatever your part, however God assigns you, however God gifts you, wherever God puts you, it's the same goal. Build up the church. Equip the church. That's the goal. Do it in divine love. I want you to understand this. Christianity, it is at some level an individual competition. But at another level, it is a group sport. And as such, you need to be part of a team. We're Team New Song. I like that. That's catchy. But I meet people that insist they can do it all themselves. They don't like something that happened at a previous church, so they withdrew from any church for a long period of time. And they sit around and lick their wounds while their wounds slowly become more and more infected with unforgiveness. And they say, oh, Brother Phil, anything can be a church. It only takes two people to be a church. My spouse and I are a church. My child and I are a church. And I have six words that come to mind. Danger, danger, danger. Naive, hurting, danger. How arrogant can a man be that he would presume that between him and his child that all the gifts would be present? Or that between him and his spouse that all the gifts would be present? I meet these people. Maybe you've met some of these people. I've met many people that say they're not going to go to church anymore because of something that happened. And now they're just not going to go. Not even a house church. They're just done. They think their wound entitles them to a get-out-of-church-free card. That thinking is danger, danger, danger. Naive, hurting, danger. To those people, I want to challenge them. Rise up, O men of God. Have done with lesser things. Give heart and soul and mind and strength to serve the King of Kings. Rise up, O men of God. The church for you doth wait. Your strength unequal to the task, but Christ in you is great. Okay, let me tell you why I titled the sermon the way that I did. At some point, you will be tasked with failure. That is to say, God will directly send you a challenge that you cannot personally succeed at. In the Lord's discipline, as the Lord leads us through challenges and trials to strengthen us and to make us more Christ-like, at some point you'll be brought to a mountain you cannot climb on your own, or a giant you cannot kill on your own, or a chasm you cannot cross on your own. God is not being masochistic. God is loving and caring. He loves you, but he will at some point send you such a challenge. He may do it more than once if you need to learn the lesson more than once. What is the lesson? That you are not all that and a bag of chips. that you do not have all the solutions on your own, that you do not have all the gifts on your own, that your strength is a remarkably feeble level, using only your own abilities, that you have very real limits, and that trying to solve these challenges using only your own abilities will end in failure. After failure, after failure. Because after all, you're just a man or a woman. God did not leave you. God did not forsake you. You were given the challenge to show you the limits to your own strength. God's strength is infinite, but your strength has very real limits. God's wisdom is infinite. Your wisdom is very limited. God's resources are vast, but yours can break down under stress. Now, if that's you, and I suspect for some of us it is, actually, I think it's all of us at some point in our lives, I want to encourage you, take advantage of the body of Christ. Remember that there are resources in some parts of the body of Christ that are not in other parts of the body of Christ. If your resources are not enough for the challenge at hand, then take advantage of the gifts that are in other parts of the body of Christ. Because in your own strength, you will fail certain challenges. That's why God sent you the challenge, to show you your limits and to show you the need to rely on the rest of the body of Christ. Recently, I was speaking to a brother in Christ, and I was talking about a spiritual challenge that I had gone through and that I had done the best that I thought I could, but that not everything worked out as well as I would have liked. And my brother challenged me. Did you seek the parts of the body of Christ that would have given you greater spiritual wisdom? Did you seek the parts of the body of Christ that would have given you greater knowledge? Did you seek the parts of the body of Christ that would have given you greater discernment? And suddenly I felt as dumb and stubborn as an old mule. I felt like the old cartoons where someone's doing something dumb and then the animator suddenly draws them as a braying donkey. Yaw, yaw, yaw. I thought to myself, I'm going to make the cover of Time magazine as dumbest man of the year. You know, let me be honest with you. I really enjoy being intelligent. My whole life, my parents, my teachers told me, Philip, you're an intelligent young man. But you know what the worst part about being intelligent is? It becomes a prideful trap. When you rely on your own mental resources to think your way out of every scenario, even though you know from the text of the Word of God that God has given gifts to people of various levels of intelligence, sometimes you get so prideful you only want to ask smart people for spiritual advice. I'm not saying you go and ask for a fool for advice, but I can go to other parts of the body of Christ and look for the giftings that God has given unto men and women and let those gifts minister unto me. Recently, I was reading through the book of Ephesians in my devotions. I came across the armor of God. It's a great passage. And the Lord was pointing out to me, there's no part of the armor that's really linked to high intelligence. The closest thing would be the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, because you need some degree of intelligence to memorize God's Word. But you don't need a Juris Doctorate or a medical degree or an engineering degree to be able to memorize God's Word. I mean, we teach little children to memorize God's Word. Intelligence is not the same thing as wisdom. All God's people are supposed to seek wisdom, get wisdom, but not everyone will be remembered for their intelligence. Wisdom can help you avoid many pitfalls of life, but intelligence just means that you'll have other forms of pitfalls. Some of the devil's schemes are baited for the foolish, but some of the devil's schemes are baited for the intelligent. You cannot do it all on your own. You can do many things on your own, but you cannot do it all on your own. You need the rest of the body of Christ. There are resources scattered here that you will need from time to time. This lesson, and I hope you learned from my shameful experience, is precisely why there is not always an easy heavenly solution to every earthly challenge. Because sometimes you will be tasked with failure. The challenge is too much for little Philip Girth. But the sooner I learn that I'm small, but that the resources of the kingdom are vast, but spread out, the sooner I will succeed despite my shortcomings. And God help me, I've already had to learn this lesson more than once. Sometimes I forget the lessons that God has shown me, and God makes me repeat the module and learn the lesson again. I did not enjoy being told that I must relearn lessons, but I suppose I should rejoice that my pride has been wounded, because now that that's happened, I see how much I relied on my own strength. I can see how my own pride was a problem for me. Pride blinds us from our own faults. Now I realize that comic books are not good material for Sunday morning sermons usually. But bear with me. I wanted to use an example that everybody would understand. Perhaps you have a hero that you have read about. Perhaps as a child or even as an adult, you enjoy hearing about the adventures of Superman or the adventures of Spider-Man or some other hero out there. For many adventures, your hero will find a way to triumph over the challenges of the day by the end of the episode. But eventually your hero will face a challenge that he or she cannot solve on their own. What will the hero do? Well, inevitably it's the same solution. Assemble the hero team. Now, individual contributions of many heroes are enough to combine to solve the problem. But in the first part of the adventure, our hero will go out and fight the challenge in his or her own strength, and the hero will fail. And the hero will be so shocked that they failed. Oh, I usually overcome my challenges. I usually defeat the villain. And the hero is forced to realize, I need others to deal with certain problems, because if I fight this villain again in only my own strength, I will only fail again. Have you ever been knocked down by a challenge that you tried to face on your own? I have, many times. Failure is such an effective teacher, because the lessons of failure get down deep into our cracks and wounds and under our barriers of pride. The lessons of success are often superficial. That's why failure can be such an effective teacher. God uses failure to discipline us from time to time. By discipline, I mean to strengthen us. We're disciplined like athletes in training or soldiers in training. All right, let's take an additional question from our introduction. Here's a question. If I have the Holy Spirit within me, why does the Holy Spirit need to further equip me? You know, our theme verses this year are from Hebrews 13, 20 through 21. We've got the full text over here on the banner, but I've also got an abridged version here on the PowerPoint. The writer of Hebrews prays that the God of peace will equip you with everything good so that you may do God's will. How does that work? If we already have the Holy Spirit within us, why do we need to be further equipped? Well, let's take a minute and do a quick recap of the sermon so far. You cannot do it all yourself. You cannot be everything yourself. You need the body of Christ. You need other believers in your life to help supply what you're lacking. You need to build up others in divine love, and you need others to build you up in divine love. But there's another layer. Let's dig back into our text in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. It says, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. We're supposed to be growing up in every way into Christ. Growing, yes, but which way? Growing up, not just growing older. Growing up into whom? Into Christ. Growing how? In every way, in every spiritual way. As we grow up, we should be bearing greater spiritual fruit, more fruit than you did before. You might not notice the change over the days or the weeks, but over the years, you should be noticing greater output, sweeter fruit, greater fruit, more refreshing fruit. And we can take that and apply it to spiritual abilities as well. As we grow up, we should be bearing greater spiritual abilities and greater spiritual fruit than we did before. The development takes time, but they're supposed to come. Why would anyone assume, just because they have certain spiritual aptitudes and gifts and positions and abilities at somewhere in their life, that they would not have additional aptitudes or gifts or positions or abilities as they grow up in every way into Christ? It only makes sense that as we grow into Christ in every way, that the Lord would use us in new ways. You'll never have it all. You'll never do it all. You still have specialization. But new levels of specialization, new abilities within your specialization, new ministry opportunities within your specialization. Let's take another question from our introduction. If I have everything I need for life and godliness, why would Paul tell the church in Corinth to desire spiritual gifts? In other words, if I already have all the spiritual stuff that God gives, why do I need to desire more? And this is a fascinating question in my mind, because it might appear at first to be a paradox. Here's a little bit of wisdom. The Word of God never contradicts itself, but at times it does get interestingly subtle. Here are the two verses I'm thinking of. 2 Peter 1:3 states, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. But then Paul writes to the church in Corinth and says, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. So which is it? Do we have it all, or should we desire more? Now remember, you'll never have everything. Never. That's not how God's kingdom is designed to function. So let's ask some questions about this seeming paradox. One verse seems to indicate we have all the spiritually cool stuff already. And one verse seems to indicate we need to seek more. Which verse is correct? Well, obviously, they're both correct. But how? Well, I'll tell you. You don't start the Christian life with perfected love pouring out of you in every circumstance. That's actually part of 2 Peter chapter 1, in particular verse 7. Let me give you the context. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that's in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. If these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's a sequence here It looks like we have it all already, but only through our knowledge of God, which understandably will grow with time and maturity. We start with faith. To faith we add virtue, and then knowledge, then self-control, then steadfastness, then godliness, then brotherly affection, then love. It really should not surprise you if you do not love well if you're still young in the Lord. You should know that the goal will be to love extremely well. I am about to be a grandparent. And I can tell you without reservation that I will love more effectively now in my 50s than I did as a young parent in my 20s. Why? Because I've aged? No. Not necessarily. Because I've grown in the Lord? Yes. Because I've grown in the Lord. I love more in my 50s than I did in my 20s. Because I've spent 30 additional years growing in the Lord. Now I bear better fruit. I love more. I do more for the Lord. Not just because I aged, but because I grew into the Lord himself. I don't become Christ. I just become more and more Christ-like. I still learn many lessons. I still need the body of Christ more than ever. But more Christ-like, that was always the goal. Now let's go over and take a look at 1 Corinthians 14:1, which reads, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. So I think the first thing you need to realize is this. You are pursuing love. Therefore, no gift of the Spirit is for your selfish enjoyment alone. It's for building up the body. We talked about that earlier in the sermon. As you grow in love, as you pursue love, you will find new ways to love others. You will just find new ways to love. If you grow in love, you'll love more. If you pursue love, you'll find new ways to love others. In what ways? In new and better spiritual fruit and new and better developments in your spiritual abilities. And this is also precisely why you need to stay connected to a local body, so that you can love on them and so that they can love on you in new and better ways as we all grow together into Christ. So let's summarize today's sermon. I gave you some questions earlier. Let's go back through them. Question one, why was there not always an easy heavenly solution to every earthly challenge? Because you will at times be tasked with failures. You cannot solve it on your own because you need to access the other parts of the body of Christ to solve the challenge. Number two, why can't I operate all the time in every spiritual gift? Because God has put gifts into the body so that we will rely on one another, not just rely on ourselves. Number three, if I have the Holy Spirit within me, why do I need to be further equipped by the Holy Spirit? You will be further equipped as you grow into Christ. It's a result of healthy growth. Number four, if I have everything I need for life and godliness, why would anyone seek greater spiritual abilities? You'll seek to love more, and in loving more, you'll seek to find ways to express love more effectively. Those ways will include spiritual abilities. Number five, why is failure such an effective teacher? It gets into the cracks. Number six, why would a loving God send anyone into a no-win scenario? To remind you of your need for the body, to remind you that you are not a one-man army. You and your spouse are not a two-person army. Number seven, is it possible to fail and yet still accomplish what God has for me? Yes, very common, especially when the goal is to fail with only your own strength. Number eight, how many times will a person need to learn the lessons from this sermon? Well, I've had to learn it several times myself. I imagine that other people have to retake this lesson, but I hope you learn from it. All right, well, thank you for listening to me braying up here. I started the sermon by stating that you need to know that not every challenge you face will be easily solved, and that right now, the neighbor next to you might be facing a challenge that needs your help. And I wanted to let you leave here with new eyes so that you can look for what your brothers and sisters are dealing with here at New Song and even around the world. Be the body. Love on your hurting neighbor. Build each other up and let them minister to you as well. And with that, I will have our announcement person come on up.
Thank you, Phil. Some important announcements. Number one, a big thank you to everyone who is helping us to prepare for the Pataskala Easter egg hunt in stuffing 100 eggs with candy. I know that thanks goes to, in particular, some little ones who might be in the back, so mom and dad, be sure to pass along my gratitude to them. If you haven't gotten that finished yet, you still have another couple of weeks, but the deadline to get that back in here to us will be 2 weeks from today on the 23rd. April the 5th is the Pataskala Easter egg hunt, and we are in need of volunteers that can help set up the bouncy houses, set up our prayer station, and then to man those two things, the prayer station and the bouncy house, make sure the kids don't, you know, kill each other when they're bouncing around in there, and you know how kids can be. So we really appreciate your volunteer spirit with that. So my phone number's in there. Please reach out to me if you're available to help on the 5th. The times are in there. The actual event is from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m., but setup starts at 10 o'clock in the morning. So if you can help in any of those things, we'd really appreciate that. The women are meeting tonight, so half the room is invited to Mary McGlone's house. Her address is in the bulletin, so you're warmly invited. They'll be meeting this evening from 6 to 8. And so what about us guys? What is there for us? Well, you may recall that during the month of March, we are setting time aside in the evening from 7 to 8 for prayer for the Muslim world. This happens to be a special time of fasting for Muslims called Ramadan. And I just want to take a minute and read a passage from Revelation, because, guys, this is a great opportunity for us. The women are going to be engaged with what the Lord is leading them to do. And Paul said, I want the men in every place to pray. I want the men in every place. Men, we should be leading in prayer. I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath or dissension. And for us guys, who God has, pardon me, God has wired us in particular, we, even bodily, we have generally more strength than women, although there's some women that are pretty buff, but generally speaking, we men are the ones who are the warriors, and we have a warrior savior. We do. Revelation 19 says, and I saw heaven opened. By the way, there are some different ways to view this passage. Some people view this passage as something that is actually happening now, not something that's necessarily we have to wait to happen in the future. I saw heaven open. Behold, a white horse. He who sat on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness, he judges and wages war. Who do you think is sitting on the white horse? His eyes are a flame of fire. On his head are many diadems or crowns. He has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. He's clothed with a robe dipped in blood. Are you getting some more clues about who that might be? And his name is called the Word of God. Yeah, it's Jesus Christ. He is seated. He is the victorious king right now. His victory doesn't come later. He's already gained the victory. 6 weeks from today is Easter. We're going to be celebrating that. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. Who are the followers of Jesus? Look around to the people in the room. That's who the followers of Jesus are. He's going forth. He is a warrior king, not to slay people in the sense of physically killing them, but defeating them. You know, he has defeated me. I now serve him. I used to be his enemy. I am now submitted to Christ, and so are you if you're a Christian. And so the way that we bring about the submission of and the defeat of the nations, and in particular, I'm tying this into people who are in the world of Islam. And let me tell you, Joan and I got to go to Turkey for our 30th wedding anniversary many years ago. And it's just a religion that is very enslaving to people and keeps them in darkness. And how are they to be freed? Part of that is the church to follow Jesus. He's our leader. He's going forward. We better get behind him and be part of his army. So guys, I want to rally the troops to come here tonight at 7. We're going to storm the throne, as it were, for 60 minutes and intercede and ask God for the nations, and in particular, some of these nations that are under the enslavement of Islam. So with that, let's see. There's another important announcement or two, I'm sure. In particular, back on the Pataskala Easter egg hunt, we are in need of a generator. I realized or came to the information, we don't have electric power available to us at Foundation Park. We have to generate our own. So if you have a generator that you're willing to loan us for that day, please see me. And, another thing, the deadline for the EMI conference, which is scheduled for the 22nd of March, the deadline to sign up for that is the 16th of March, and the internet information of where to go to get how to sign up and all that is in your bulletin as well. Lastly, 6 weeks today, as I mentioned, 6 weeks from today is Easter, and as you know, preceding Easter is Good Friday, and every year we meet on that special day to remember Jesus having gone to the cross for us. So we will be meeting Good Friday, have a Good Friday service, and that will go from 6 to 7, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. That'll be Friday, April 18th. I hope you plan to put that in your schedule and attend that. Okay, I think at this point we're going to close with prayer. Mike, you're going to handle that for us. Thanks.
Thank you, Jack. All right, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the message that you gave to Brother Philip this morning. Lord, may we seek your face. May we seek to grow through the ministry that you provided to each brother and sister here. May we be able to receive that and also to bear the responsibility for ministering to others. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please rise for the benediction. After the benediction, you are free to go, but please feel free to sit around and minister to one another. Our benediction is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, and verse 20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. You are released.